is KOIN in Portland. It's 11 o'clock.
For the second time in just over a week, the South Vietnamese government says it has foiled a coup attempt. This is Doug Poling reporting on the CBS radio network. Saigon officials said several persons were placed under arrest, including one high associate of Nguyen Cao Ky, the country's former premier. They were charged with plotting the overthrow of President Tu. Earlier, Tu ordered Saigon police to shoot to kill any unruly demonstrators in the capital. That order came following a big Catholic protest against the regime for its handling of the war. A giant American cargo plane flew to Saigon Thursday night to start evacuating some 2,000 orphans from the war. The U.S. is also trying to make plans to evacuate up to 1 million adults from Vietnam should the country fall. President Ford says he's going to seek more funds from Congress to aid victims of the Vietnam War. In Washington, Daniel Parker of the Agency for International Development told what the U.S. is now doing for refugees.
We are providing emergency transportation. We're providing emergency food, medical care. And when we can get them to points where they can at least stage or lay over, we're providing additional care in terms of shelter. All of the basics that are necessary.
The agency also urged Americans who want to help the Vietnamese war victims to give money to churches or relief agencies. More news in a moment.
Hearts wants to round up every brown woman town and run them out before they run your dog down.
Roundworms can strike you, your dog or cat. Get rid of them safely with the Hearts once a month wormer. Add it to your pet's dinner every 30 days, then it'll round up those roundworms and keep them away for good.
Get Hearts once a month wormer at your favorite store and help your dog to be roundworm free evermore.
The Hearts once a month wormer for dogs and cats.
The American woman is a business executive, a housewife, an author, a judge, a star athlete. In other words, the American woman is what she wants to be. And on the CBS News broadcast series, The American Woman, we report on and talk to women we're sure you'll find interesting. I'm Sylvia Chase, CBS News, a regular contributor to this series on the achievements and dilemmas of women in today's society. Listen for The American Woman, Monday through Saturday on most of these stations of the CBS radio network.
Communist forces appear to be pausing to regroup their numbers following their fast sweep across the northern and central parts of South Vietnam. There is now a lull in the fighting as the North Vietnamese and Viet Cong have some 50,000 men massed only about 50 miles from Saigon. Secretary of State Kissinger flew to California Thursday night to confer with President Ford on ways to help South Vietnam resist the communist onslaught. Earlier in Washington, Kissinger spent about an hour talking with Soviet Ambassador Dobrynin. Marvin Kalb reports.
The two diplomats briefly discussed Vietnam. There seems to be no appetite on either side to reconvene the Big Power Guarantor Conference, which met in Paris in February 1973. They also discussed the Middle East. And despite a call this week by Egypt for a quick reconvening of the Geneva Conference, neither the U.S. nor Russia seems to be in a big hurry. May, June, or July, speculated one Russian source. A senior American official agreed. Until there's an understanding on who is going to be represented and what issues are going to be addressed, there seems to be little point in reconvening that conference in the near future. Marvin Kalb, CBS News, the State Department.
In a San Diego speech Thursday night, President Ford talked about a number of domestic issues, including one matter he wants Congress to act upon soon.
I renew the challenge to the Congress to enact before May 1 of this year a comprehensive energy program. It's essential to our national security, and it's more essential today than it was in January when I proposed it. The facts are we can afford no more delays.
As the president spoke, Chairman L. Ullman of the House Ways and Means Committee announced that next week his panel will start working on an energy bill. Ullman says it will include a gasoline tax with exemptions for basic driving needs. Now this.
Hi, this is Phyllis Diller, and I'm hot on the heels of the greatest product. It's a rust remover called Naval Jelly. No, you don't store it in your navel, silly. You use it on any rusty surface. Just brush it on and wash it off. Even I can do it. If you have anything in your life that's rusty, get Dural Brand Naval Jelly. I wonder if it would work on Fang. Goodness knows he's rusty. Naval jelly is on sale wherever Fix-It products are sold.
As a teacher and a mother, one thing I've learned is that children love animals. Whether it's Bow Wow, Quack Quack, or Gobble Gobble, they love them all. My children are too young to know what whales are yet, but they will one day, and they've got a right to have them in their world. That's one reason I've joined the National Audubon Society's campaign to help save the whales. You can join, too. Write National Audubon Society, 950 3rd Avenue, New York, New York.
The bribery trial of former Treasury Secretary John Connally continued Thursday in Washington. Texas Attorney Jake Jacobson testified Connally asked for and received two payments of $5,000 each from a milk cooperative. Jacobson said Connally did so at the same time in 1971 when Jacobson's clients were trying to get the government to raise milk price supports. Doug Poling, CBS News.
A group calling itself Citizens for Safety on Mount Nebo say it's circulating a petition calling for the immediate halt to blasting operations at the mountain along Interstate 5 in Roseburg, where road construction work is underway. A spokesman for the committee says, "We've had one death, two injuries, and at least two incidents when rocks from the blasting have come crashing into the homes of Roseburg residents. The death occurred when a rock from the mountain came off the hill at night and crashed into a car traveling along the road, fatally injuring a young child late in March." The petition is directed against S.D. Spencer & Sons Company, a Washington state-based firm working on the project. Negotiations on a new pay contract for state employees broke down this afternoon after employee representatives rejected the latest offer by the state. Officials of the State Employees Association says the latest offer by the state was only slightly improved over the 23% pay hike recommended by Governor Bob Straub in January. The association negotiators say they will present the terms of the proposal to the union members and also seek a strike authorization vote if there is no apparent support for the offer. The state's offer followed a recommendation by a fact-finding panel for a 27% pay hike over the next 2 years. Straub said that the proposal was unacceptable to the state. The negotiations affect approximately 24,000 state workers. The Public Utility Commissioner's staff has recommended approval of less than half the $7,800,000 rate hike requested by General Telephone Company of the Northwest. The staff recommendation came during renewed PUC hearings on the rate hike application. Just less than $3,300,000 was recommended. The weather for the Portland metropolitan area: showers occasionally mixed with snow and periods of partial clearing tonight through Friday and Saturday. Minor snow accumulations near 1,000 feet, continued cold with the highs in the mid to upper 40s. Cold nights with the lows 30 to 35 degrees. Chance of measurable precipitation, 90% tonight, 80% Friday, and 70% Friday night. Right now in downtown Portland, it's 38 degrees. That's KOIN News to 1108. I'm Bill Garrity.
The CBS Radio Mystery Theater presents... I'm E.G. Marshall, and everything's in order. In its proper place, neatly sorted and labeled, all the items of suspense, mystery, terror, and the macabre. It only remains to mix and brew. Of all sad words of tongue and pen, the saddest are these: "It might have been. It might have been." What might have been could we but recall that hasty word, that heedless act? Yes, indeed. Had we but known then what we know now, how different things would be today. Or at least that's what we like to tell ourselves. But would things really be different?
My boy, you take an unnecessarily dim view.
Do you realize I'm going to hang tomorrow morning?
Perhaps, perhaps not.
What do you mean, perhaps not?
Tomorrow will come and go, and you will still be alive.
How?
You will not be here, in this place.
How am I going to get out?
Leave that to me.
Look around you. Guards, doors, locks. How could I possibly get out?
They will all disappear.
What are you talking about?
Look. Look.
What? What happened? Who are you? Who are you?
Our mystery drama, The Garrison of the Dead, was written especially for the Mystery Theater by Sam Dan and stars Mandel Kramer. It is sponsored in part by Uncle Ben's Long Grain and Wild Rice and Anheuser-Busch Incorporated, Brewers of Budweiser. I'll be back shortly with Act One.
Hi, I'm Burl Ives. You know, nothing perks up a meal like an exciting side dish. And I'd like to tell you about one your family and your guests are sure to love and keep on loving. It's Uncle Ben's Long Grain and Wild Rice. It's a mouth-watering mixture of Uncle Ben's converted brand rice, wild rice herbs, and seasonings. It's the kind of side dish that can make an ordinary meal a great meal and can keep a great meal from becoming ordinary. In fact, Uncle Ben's Long Grain and Wild Rice is so good, they tell me that most everyone who tries it comes back for more. That's because there are no compromises in quality. But that's the way Uncle Ben's does business. So, to make an ordinary meal a great meal, try Uncle Ben's Long Grain and Wild Rice. And to make sure you get the quality ingredients and good taste I've told you about, make sure it's Uncle Ben's.
As an actor, I think Grandpa Walton is one of my all-time favorite roles because he's in a family situation, meeting the down-to-earth problems of life. Hello, I'm Will Gear, and I'd like to speak with you a moment about a down-to-earth problem that affects 6 million of our nation's children and adults and their families. It's mental retardation. We've all heard the words mental retardation, but what do they really mean? Well, technically, they simply mean that normal development fails to take place as an infant grows older. It can happen in any family, and because of any of a couple of hundred known reasons, and other reasons that aren't known. It's important to remember that every mentally retarded person can be helped to become a better functioning human being. With proper training and education, most retarded persons are capable of becoming productive and self-sufficient. Please give your help by supporting the work of your local association of the National Association for Retarded Citizens. Thank you.
Alibi, from the Latin alias ibi, which means to be somewhere else, which is precisely the idea of the thing, no? If you are required to commit a murder in one place, you must make sure you can prove you were someplace else at that exact time. This point is so elementary, so simple, one might consider it too obvious to be worthy of mention. Perhaps. But the executioners have been kept busy and the prisons full by those forgetful folk who neglected the basics. And no one is more aware of this than Andrew Masefield. Tonight, it will be necessary for Andrew Masefield to murder Jerome Carlson. It is a serious and most dangerous business. And of course, Andrew would rather not do it. But we live in a world where a man does what he must.
Hello, Jerry.
Andy Masefield. Thought you were in jail.
Quit the comedy, Jerry. You knew I was out on bail. You gonna ask me to come in?
No.
Jerry, I've got to talk to you.
Whatever you and I would have to talk about has already been said.
Jerry, you gotta give me a break.
I know all your stories by heart.
And try to understand. And remember, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not.
What's this? You? You dare to quote the Bible?
Sure I dare. After all, the Bible was written more for me than it was for you.
I can't get over it.
You gonna make me stand outside?
Behold, there has risen a new Andrew Masefield from the ashes of the old. Or has there? Enter, Andrew.
Ah, all alone. By yourself. Hmm?
Spoken with your usual flair for the redundant, Andrew. Well, what revelations have you to share with me?
Jerry, Jerry, do you want me to go to jail for 10 years?
Actually, I would want you to go to jail for life.
And pay $500,000 in fine?
That money never belonged to you.
Jerry, I'll give you half. That's your cut to keep your mouth shut.
So, there really isn't a new Andy Mason.
$250,000, Jerry. How many magazine stories do you have to write before you can see $250,000?
I'm sorry.
Jerry, give me a break. I trusted you, Jerry. I helped you. You came to me. You said you wanted to do an article on how a real estate development is put together.
I did.
Because I thought we'd become friends, I told you things, well, off the record. And now you're going to go to court tomorrow morning and you're going to testify.
That's right, Andy.
Well, doesn't friendship impose a certain obligation?
There's a higher obligation.
To what?
To the law.
Look, what I told you was strictly on the QT, Jerry. And why? To let you in on a good thing, give you a chance to make some money.
You mean give me a chance to break the law?
Oh, law? What's so holy about the law? People break the law every day. Didn't you break the law a couple of years ago when you wrote an article telling young guys how to avoid military service?
That was a matter of conscience.
What you really mean is it's all a matter of personal taste.
Perhaps. But my taste doesn't run to swindling poor, ignorant people out of their life savings.
Grow up, Jerry. These are suckers that were born to be taken.
We've been through all this, Andy.
I guess we have. So you're going to walk into that courtroom tomorrow and explain to the jury just how I separated those suckers from their dough.
I think it's time we said goodbye.
Yes, it is. In more ways than one.
But you... You're crazy to point that gun at me.
Crazy? This is the only thing that makes any sense. I offered you money, no dice. I tried to appeal to your friendship, no good. So now I have to kill you.
You can't get away with it.
Why not?
Everybody knows you'd stop at nothing to prevent me from testifying. You threaten me in public. You're the only one with a motive.
Threats, motives, they won't matter. I'm going to have an alibi.
How could you hope to prove that you didn't...
A guy like me never hopes. He plans. Now, on my watch, I've got exactly 9:57. The coroner is going to fix the time of your death at exactly 10 p.m.
Oh, Andy, put that gun away.
You think this is a joke, huh? No, Jerry. It's on the level. But I'm going to have an alibi. Marguerite.
That's the best I've ever heard. Marguerite.
Why is it so funny?
Because Marguerite is not that kind of woman who could commit perjury.
Your problem is you don't know people, Jerry. You don't know what makes them go. Marguerite may have all those letters after her name, but underneath it, she's just a woman.
Now, hold it a
minute. She loves to be treated like a woman.
Marguerite is in love with me.
She thought she was until I came along, and besides, I'm going to give her $10,000.
Oh. I can't believe it.
Now, with my left hand, I'll just pick up this phone. I'll put it down and dial. I'm dialing Marguerite, and you'll be able to hear for yourself.
Hello?
Go ahead. Pick it up, Jerry. Talk to the lady yourself.
Hello, Marguerite?
Who is this?
It's me, Jerry. Marguerite, Andy's gone crazy. He's here pointing a gun at me.
Oh, no, Jerry. Andy can't be there.
Huh?
He's here with me.
No, he's here. He wants to kill me.
Now, dear, he can't be at your place. He's right here and he's angry. He's yelling at me. Just listen.
Marguerite, listen to me.
You listen, Jerome. Hear for yourself.
You're not going to make a monkey out of me. You're not going to go running around with every Tom, Dick, and Harry the minute I turn my back.
Oh, shut up, Andy, and give me a rest. You see, Jerome... Andy and I are having a fight.
No.
So call me back later.
No. Marguerite!
Hang up, Jerry. That's all there is.
No, listen.
My voice is on a tape recorder. That apartment has thin walls. Now, you know how neighbors love to listen to a lover's quarrel. So Marguerite will swear that I was with her.
No.
Plenty of people will swear they heard me.
But if I'm dead, everyone will know that you killed me.
What everyone knows and what everyone can prove are two different things, Jerry. But I've got the alibi.
You won't get away with it.
How could I be here to shoot you dead at 10 p.m. when I was in Marguerite's apartment in North Hastings, 35 miles away?
That car of yours. That loud, flashy car. Someone's sure to have spotted it.
I'm not using my car tonight. I'm driving Marguerite's mousy little...
Andy!
Andy, what? You want to make a deal now, Jerry? It's too late. Timing, Jerry. Timing is everything in life.
Ooh. Who besides you would kill me?
Take your watch, your ring, your wallet, break the back window.
You won't fool the police.
I remember that you told me that civilized men build the cities and then a barbarian sweep down from the hills and destroy them.
Well, the barbarian
is to win
again. It won't work. Something will go wrong.
Nothing. Absolutely nothing is going to go wrong.
Andy.
At 10 o'clock tonight, I won't be here.
Andy.
Marguerite will swear that I was 35 miles
Andy,
away.
Andy, think of what you're doing.
Where
think.
Has the time gone? It's exactly 10 o'clock.
No. It's fast.
Goodbye, my best and only friend.
No.
You've got to believe I'm sorry, Jerry. But that's the only way you'd have it.
Hello, hello, hello. We're here to bring you dough. This is Harvey Hopkins, old Hop Around Harv, who brings you dough for just being at the right place at the right time. Timing, as they say, is everything in life. It is now exactly 3 minutes after 10 p.m., and we're at our location. Where? We are at the intersection of Route 6 and Main Street, and we have our special police motorcycle escort, and tonight, he's Sergeant Jim Cassidy. Say hello to all the folks, Jim.
Evening.
That was Jim saying good evening to everybody, but Jim will have a special good evening for you personally if you happen to A, drive past the intersection of Route 6 and Main, and B, if you have an R and a 5 on your license plate. Yes, sir, an R and a 5. An R and a 5 will make the jackpot, which is $650. All that money for an R and a 5 on your license plate. And if you're the first one to pass the intersection of Route 6 and Main, it is now precisely 4 minutes after 10 p.m. And I do believe we've got a winner because, yes, Sergeant Cassidy is turning up that motorbike and he's after a car that has just passed by us here at Route 6 and Main. And off we go in hot pursuit. Yes, sir. The Sarge has overtaken him, or her, as the case may be. And we have got a winner.
Please pull over, sir.
What's the matter? What have I done? What do you want?
Please pull over, sir.
What's the meaning of this, officer?
Sir, I'm very happy to inform you that you have just won the jackpot.
Yes, sirree, folks. He doesn't believe it. I can tell from the look on his face that he does not believe it.
I don't have time to stay here.
You don't have the time to reach out and grab $650.
Look, do you mind if I just...
The money is yours now. What's your name, sir?
Please, I don't...
The rules and regulations compel us to give this money to the driver of any car with R and 5 on his license plate who passes...
I don't have an R and a 5 on my plate.
Is that true, Sergeant?
His plate number is R55, Harv.
Man, you've got it in spades.
I tell you, I don't have a...
Don't you even know your own license plate number?
This isn't my car.
It isn't your car?
No, it belongs to a friend. So, if you don't mind, I'll be on my way.
One moment, sir. May I see the automobile registration?
What do you want to see the registration for?
May I see it, please?
Now, look, I am a law-abiding citizen.
May I see the registration and your driver's license?
But I haven't done anything.
Friend, all we want to do is give you $650.
Your license, please.
Yeah. Yeah, sure.
Look out, everybody!
Well, how do you like that? We offer a fella $650, and he turns into a wild beast. Well, here goes Sergeant Cassidy in pursuit!
The obvious thing here would be to quote from Bobby Burns, "The best laid plans of mice and men gang off to glay." We could quote him, but we won't, because... Really, the plan didn't go wrong. The plan was fine. Something else went wrong. But what? And how? Where? When? Well, we're really only a third of the way home. You can't expect to know everything right now, can you? I'll return shortly with Act Two.
Inside you're free after all. Yeah, freedom spirit, like a wild bird's call. Inside you're free, inside you're free after all. Living free, living free.
You're on the open road. rolling free and feeling great about your new Buick Century. Because in published EPA mileage test results, a V6 Buick Century got the best highway mileage of any U.S. midsize car. 24 miles per gallon and 16 in the city. Nice choice, your Buick.
Inside you're free. Inside you're free after all. Living free. Living free. Living free.
Who knows how to help you solve your shopping problems? Your Better Business Bureau knows.
Madam, can I step inside? You see, I'm taking a survey. We're not selling anything, of course.
Well, if you're sure you're not selling...
Absolutely, I guarantee it. I see you have children. Do they do well in school? And now, if you'll just sign here, madam, you'll receive all 10 items for free, except for the handling charges, you understand. Pennies a day, really.
Wait just a moment, madam. Don't sign that paper. That's a contract. And believe me, nothing in this deal is for free.
But who are you?
I'm the man from the Better Business Bureau, reminding you to read this contract carefully before you sign it. Don't be taken in by the story that anything of value is free. And remember that pennies a day add up to a considerable amount. Just another consumer tip from your Better Business Bureau.
You know the old Russian proverb, he that is fated to drown can even drown in a cup of water. And so it is with our friend Andrew Masefield. Except Andrew will not drown. He will hang. He will hang for the murder of Jerome Carlson. And of course, you know why. When that beautifully crafted alibi suddenly collapsed, the judge and jury made quick work of the case. The date for the hanging has already been set. And the days, if we may quote that beautiful song, are dwindling down to a precious few.
I couldn't help it. It was him or me. I didn't want to do it. He was my friend. Tell him, Jerry. Tell him. We were friends. Tell him we were friends, Jerry.
We were friends.
And you know it was nothing personal. You don't hold it against me, do you? Do you, Jerry?
Oh, no, Andy. Certainly not. I don't hold it against you.
You see, he forgives me. He forgives me. Tell him.
I forgive you.
You should have said so at the trial, Jerry. You should have said so.
I did, Andy. But no one was listening to me. I was listening.
Help. Help me. Somebody's got to help me. I don't want to hang.
I'll help you, Andy. I'll swear you spent the whole evening at my apartment.
That's no good. You're supposed to have brains. You teach college. Don't you know that's no good? How could I have been with you when the cops picked me up?
Oh. She never had much practical knowledge.
Jerry, they're going to hang me.
Yes. That's such an unpleasant way to die.
Somebody has to help me.
I'll help you. I'll swear you were in my apartment.
Crazy dame, that won't work. Somebody's got to do something. I don't want to hang. Somebody do something.
Gin.
Gin?
Yeah, I guess you got it.
I must say, Mr. Fallowfield, your mind doesn't seem to be on this game.
You could be right, Mr. Paris.
You've got a faraway look in your eyes.
I'm thinking about somebody.
Who?
A fellow named Masefield. Andrew Masefield.
Andrew Masefield. Would he happen to be your client by any chance?
He would.
Well, what about him?
He's going to hang tomorrow morning.
Why?
Murder.
Did he do it?
Oh, yes. Yes, he did it. No question about it, he did it.
Then, that should be that.
I know, but...
But what?
But I know what it is to be hanged. I know from personal experience, the hard way.
But you were innocent.
That didn't make it any easier to take.
Well, what can you do? You're his guardian angel. But you did what you could.
I still think I failed him.
We can only advise. We're not supposed to go down there every time a client gets in a jam.
Maybe I don't know how to communicate, Mr. Paris. You win some, you lose some.
After tomorrow, you'll be assigned to somebody else.
It's not my fault. It's not my fault.
Oh, there he goes again. I'm going down there.
Okay. But don't say I didn't warn you.
It's not right. Help me, please. Somebody's got to help me.
Mr. Maxfield. Mr. Maxfield.
What?
What
do you want? Oh. Oh, it's you.
Yes, me, Al, the guard.
It's not time yet. It's not time yet.
No. It ain't nowhere near time.
You said you'd let me know in advance. You said you'd give me plenty of warning.
Sure. Sorry I had to wake you, but you got a visitor.
A visitor?
Yeah.
You've got to be joking. Who would want to see me?
I would.
What? Who are you?
May I come in?
What do you want?
Well, I want to discuss your case.
My case?
Yes.
My case. What case?
I've been turned down everywhere by everybody.
Is that a fact?
It's gone all the way to the Supreme Court. I don't have a case.
I've decided to hear it. May I come in? My name is Farrowfield.
Are you a lawyer? Because if you are, you're wasting your time. I've run out of appeals. Besides, I don't have a dime left in my name.
I'm not a lawyer. I'm your guardian angel.
You're my...
Al, get this nut out of here.
Don't make so much noise.
What's the angle? Come on, level with me, buddy. After all, I'm an old hustler myself.
Well, I'm really not supposed to be here.
Is that a fact?
I want you to have another chance. But you have to convince me.
This is going to be my last night in this world.
You've been saying you've got a bad deal. Now tell me, why? Why is it a bad deal? You killed Jerry Carson, didn't you? Why shouldn't you pay the price?
Because...
Well, go ahead, why? I have to know.
All right, what's the difference? It's just another nightmare. No sense my getting uptight.
You know, this isn't a nightmare. You sent for me.
I sent for you?
You always send for me, but when I come to you, you never listen. Tell me why you shouldn't hang.
You know why. Look, everybody in the world, he's got his place in... Well, Jerome called it the scheme of things. Now, a wolf kills a lamb. Do we blame the wolf? How can we? He was made for that purpose. He can't help it.
But you're not a wolf. And Jerome wasn't a lamb.
I am a wolf. I had to be a wolf, or it would have been curtains for me years ago. I had no parents since I was 5 years old. I had to shine shoes, peddle papers. It was hustle or go under.
But man has free will. Man decides whether or not...
Don't talk to me about free will. I was brought up in a jungle.
Other men had mean beginnings and have risen
above... I'm not other men. I'm me. Look, somebody made me into what I am. The kind of guy who'd have to commit murder one day. Now, why should I have to hang for it?
That, then, is the point of your brief?
Whatever it is, the defense rests. But why do I say defense? I should say prosecution. Why should I be on trial? Whoever, whatever made me into what I am should get the rope.
So, you want another chance?
Oh, definitely. I've got one coming.
Another chance? To do what?
To be what I always wanted to be.
What?
Don't laugh. A writer.
A writer, like your friend Jerome.
Yeah. You see, I learned something from him. Now, he didn't have much money. How many people ever heard of him? But he was happy. You know why? Because he was creative. And he was expressing himself in the right way. You know my problem?
No.
I'm a creative guy, too, but
I didn't have the education to express it in stories and plays and scripts, so I expressed it in creating hustles and deals. Do you see?
Yes.
Now, that hustle I put together, the last one, that was a work of art. When I had to kill Jerry, even the alibi, you've got to admit, maybe it didn't work. But it had a touch of class to it.
Another chance. And this time you'd become a writer. And you'd express yourself in fiction. This time, would you listen to me?
Would I listen to you? Look, if this is on the level, would I forget how close I came to that rope?
Will you listen to me this time, Andy? Will you?
Sure, sure.
I shouldn't say this, but my job would be on the line with you. If I guess wrong, well, you've got to understand I'm going out on a limb for you. Promise you'll listen to me this time. Will you promise, Andy?
I promise.
Mr. Sandfield, you're making a mistake.
But he is promising. He's promised me, Mr. Parris.
Okay, Mr. Fallowfield. Don't say I didn't warn you.
Andy, will you become a writer?
Yeah.
A fine writer? And a credit to both of us.
Yeah, sure. Hey, look at me. You got me believing it.
Andy, in just 1 minute, a strange thing is going to happen to you. You won't be in this jail.
No? Where will I be?
I don't know. Because you will have lived a different life, I hope. And so you will be wherever that life has taken you.
But where are you going to be?
Where I'm supposed to be, Andy. Watching over you, trying to guide you.
And what will I have become?
What you claim you wanted. A writer.
A writer? Will I be rich? Famous?
Why? Is it important? As long as you're creative, isn't that the main thing?
Sure. Sure, that's all that counts.
Andy, in 30 seconds, you'll be 37 years old, just as you are now. But instead of being in a cell, you will be wherever your different life has led you. And Andy, I hope you keep your promise and listen to me.
Did he listen, or didn't he? Where even angels disagree, who are we mortals to express an opinion? One thing is certain. If you're about to be hanged, it's wonderful to have a guardian angel who's willing to climb out on a limb and cut the rope. So, whom shall we meet in Act 3? A different, or the same old Andrew Masefield?
There's a special kind of beer. Maybe you know it. Budweiser. It was created nearly a century ago by people who really cared about things. Who took pride in brewing a quality beer, no matter what the cost. In time. In ingredients. In anything. Today, the people who brew the king of beers still have that special pride. And every taste of Beechwood-aged Budweiser says so loud and clear. Hear it talking? Ah, when you say Budweiser, you've said it all. Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis.
Hi, this is Jose Feliciano, and I'm speaking on behalf of the Louis Braille Foundation for Blind Musicians, a national nonprofit organization to promote the interests of the blind in the field of music. The foundation exists to help talented blind musicians achieve professional status as performers and teachers, providing them with auditions, evaluations, and counseling, paid engagements to qualified musicians, and the transcription of music into Braille. The services of the Louis Braille Foundation are available to any blind person. The foundation depends entirely on your contributions. So please help. Send your tax-deductible gift to the Lewis Braille Foundation, 112 East 19th Street, New York, 10003. Help a blind musician on his way. Thank you.
I come home in the evening.
The moving finger writes, and having writ, moves on. Nor all your piety and wit can ever lure it back to cancel half a line, nor all your tears wash out a word of it. We humbly beg to differ with you, O great Omar Khayyam, because our man Andrew's piety and wit has lured back the moving finger, and his tears have washed out every single word of it. In his death cell, he swore, "Give me another chance, and I'll become a great creative writer. Let me live my life again. I'll make something of myself." So, he is living it again, and he has reached this day in his new life.
This is Hop Around Harvey Hopkins, hopping around all over town to where the action is. And right now, the action is at the Celebrity Club Party for literary giant Andrew Masefield to celebrate the publication of his latest blockbuster of a novel, Kiss Away the Blood. Hi, Andy.
Hello, Harv.
Andy, they tell me Kiss Away has already been sold to the Flicks for the record price of 1 million smackers. Congratulations.
Thank you, Harv.
Yes, folks, this is the fellow they call Handy Andy Masefield because he's so handy with that typing machine. How does it feel to be the world's best-selling writer?
Well, I have a deep feeling of humility and responsibility.
Andy, how do you answer those highbrow critics who claim your work is violent, pornographic trash?
Well, I say in all humility that Dostoevsky, Dreiser, and Hemingway were slandered in a similar fashion.
Gin. Hmm? I've got gin, Mr. Fallowfield.
Oh. Ah, so you have, Mr. Parris.
You know, Mr. Fallowfield, this is the first time in 37 years I've been able to beat you at gin. Your mind isn't on the game.
No, I suppose not. It's that client of mine.
It happens you did the right thing. You saved him.
No, Mr. Parris, I didn't save him.
How can you say that? He's a great success.
No, he's a failure. When I saved him from the rope, he promised to listen to me.
Well, he did. Look at him today.
He didn't listen to a word I said. He squandered his gifts. He frittered away his talent. He said he wanted to be truly creative, like his friend Jerome Carlson. But he lied to me.
All he wanted was success. What's wrong with success? You mean creative people have to starve?
No. A man must be true to himself, or his soul becomes twisted and deformed, mean and diseased.
Mr. Fallowfield, you did a wonderful job with him.
But he promised he would be like Jerome Carlson.
With all due respect, Jerome Carlson is a schlemiel.
Perhaps. But Jerry Carlson has two things Andrew Masefield covets.
Is that so?
Yes. Jerry has talent. And Jerry has Marguerite. And for those two things, Andrew Masefield will be willing to commit murder. And I have to stop him somehow. Now, I'm going down.
You can't keep going down.
It's the only way. He doesn't listen to me. I must confront him.
But the brass here doesn't want us to keep going down there all the time.
Every 37 years? I think that should be allowed.
Yes, sir, Andy. Let them criticize all they want. You can laugh all the way to the bank. Folks, let's hear it for one of the sweetest, most humble guys on earth, Andy Masefield.
Well, that's finally over. Mind if I turn the TV off? Jerome, why didn't we go to that party?
Marguerite, my dear, you know what I think of those parties.
Andy begged you to come.
I wouldn't be seen.
I know. You wouldn't be seen at a place where rich, successful people get together. You like to wallow around with miserable, neurotic losers. Failures, like yourself.
And I don't think of myself as a loser, and I don't believe I'm a failure. I write what I please.
Maybe it pleases you. Doesn't seem to please anybody else.
I have faith in myself. And one day, Martha...
Certainly, one day, when we're old and gray...
Didn't you feel sorry for that pompous jackass preening himself on that program? I am filled with humility.
You're jealous.
Me? Jealous of that untalented slob?
He's a fine, sensitive, humble human being.
You know, Marguerite, maybe you should have married Andy.
Maybe I should have. Andy.
Where were you? You didn't show up for the party.
Oh.
Andy, you knew Jerry would refuse to go.
I lined up a whole gang of people for him to meet. Agents, publishers, producers. He could have done himself some good. Why didn't he want to come?
He's working on his book.
Oh, his book. All right. Let's forget it. Where is he now?
Where would he be at midnight, sound asleep?
Marguerite.
No, Andy,
Marguerite,
don't.
I love you, darling.
He's your best friend.
I can't help that. You mean more to me. He's shortchanging you, darling. He gives you nothing. You even have to support him.
Andy, he's really a great writer.
Yes, a great writer who nobody ever reads.
Oh, please.
Oh, you keep working, honey. Keep doing without. Keep worrying about paying the bills. Get lines in your face and age before your time.
I don't know what to do.
Divorce him.
Oh, I can't. He'd never let me leave him to go with you. That would be the final outrage. He'd kill me before he'd let you have me.
What are you saying?
Andy, there's only one way I could ever leave him to go with you. And that's if he were dead.
Well, I don't believe it.
You mean you don't want to believe it? But you're a realist. You know the things that have to be done to get what you want. Think about it.
Think about what?
Reality.
Good evening, Andy.
What? Well, who are you?
An old friend.
How did you get in here?
My name is Fallowfield.
I don't believe this.
You didn't believe it 37 years ago, either.
How could you have gotten in here? The door's locked, the window... I'm 28 floors above the ground.
Andy, 37 years ago, this very day, you promised you'd listen to me. You faced the scaffold. I gave you another chance.
Wow. Keep talking. I'm having a vision.
No, this is all real. I'm breaking the rules.
What rules?
I don't want you to hang.
Hang? Me? Why?
For the same reason you were sentenced last time. For the murder of Jerome Carson.
You're nuts. Or I'm nuts. Do you think I'd kill Jerome just for Marguerite? I mean, I'm tempted, but no dice.
You wouldn't kill Jerome just for Marguerite. Perhaps. But you would kill him for Marguerite and...
And what?
And his talent.
What are you saying?
I can't say any more. I've said too much already. I have to leave. I'll keep trying to advise you and guide you in the usual way. But this time, please listen.
Oh, sure. Look, Mr. Fallowfield. Where'd he go? Something. I'm dreaming while I'm wide awake. Well, it's Jerome.
Busy, Andy?
When a pal knocks at the door, come on in. What have you got there?
In this little carton...
It looks like a manuscript.
It is. But to call it a manuscript hardly describes it. It represents my entire life's work.
In what way?
It's my life as a writer, Andy. Everything I ever thought, felt. And this manuscript, these 500 pages, they decide whether I have the right to call myself a novelist.
Well, I'm sure it's great. What's it called?
The Garrison of the Dead.
Great title. What's it about?
It's about all of us.
Sounds heavy.
You are my closest friend. I value your opinion. I want you to be the first to read it.
Oh, Jerry, I'm honored.
Oh, Marguerite, turn on the TV. Andy's going to be on the show with that obnoxious Harvey Hopkins again.
If he's so obnoxious, why do you listen?
Oh, I haven't seen Andy in weeks, ever since I gave him my manuscript to read. I wonder why I haven't heard from him.
Andy, word from your publisher is that your newest novel is the greatest ever written by an American. Different, completely different from anything you ever did before. I quote, a big, brooding, philosophical...
Yes, that's true.
What's the title, Andy?
The Garrison of the Dead.
But that's my title.
Sounds like a blockbuster.
That's my book.
Well, you see, man gathers in groups, but these are truly garrisons. And man thinks he's fighting for life, but in reality, he's already dead.
That is sensational. It's mine. It's mine. He stole my book.
Calm yourself, my dear.
You stole my book.
What book?
The one I asked you to read.
Jerry, are you ill?
Do you deny that you stole my book?
Jerry!
I asked you to read it so you would see what you could have written if you hadn't frittered away your talents. I wanted you to read the work of a novelist, you pornographic hack.
Jerry, you've gone crazy.
You won't get away with it. I'll sue you for plagiarism. I'll expose you for the fraud you
Jerry,
are.
Jerry, please, don't make a fool of yourself.
Andy, we're in trouble.
Why, Marguerite?
The trial tomorrow, the plagiarism trial. Andy, Jerry has proof. Proof!
How could he have proof?
He's been writing Garrison for 20 years. He started when he was in the army overseas. The first two chapters were published in some obscure provincial magazine in Germany.
What are you saying?
Well, the magazine went under years ago. But he has a copy with those two chapters and an outline. Andy, tomorrow in court, he can destroy you. Us.
Now, wait. Just wait. I've got an idea. Suddenly, I've got an idea. What time is it now?
6 o'clock.
All right. Drive over to my apartment. I've got a plan, Marguerite. And it's foolproof.
Put that gun away, Andy. You're crazy. This trial has generated too much publicity. Everyone will know that you killed me, and why?
Forget that I'll have an alibi. How could I have killed you here in South Freehold at 10 p.m. if I was at my apartment in North Hastings?
Marguerite's covering for you won't help. What was she doing in your apartment anyhow? People will ask.
She came to me as your loyal, loving wife to beg me to go easy on
you. No, you won't get away with it.
Oh, yes. At 10 p.m., when you were killed by a burglar, I'll be able to prove I was in my apartment. Would your wife lie to save me?
No.
So you see, Jerome, I get it all. The woman, the fame.
No.
And you won't get the chance to show that magazine.
You won't get away with it.
Keep saying that. No,
you
won't.
It
makes you feel better.
No. No, please, Andy, no. No.
I'm sorry, Jerry. I'm really sorry. But I had to have that book.
Hello?
Marguerite? It's exactly 10.
And?
And we no longer have a problem. I'll get on the turnpike and see you in an hour.
You were here with me all the time, darling.
Of course. I better use the automatic lane so that no collector might see me pick up my ticket.
Hold it, hold it. Here, Here's our main, boys.
What's the matter, Sergeant?
Sir, it is my present duty to inform you that exactly 4 minutes past 10 this evening, you have become the 1 millionth motorist to use the turnpike.
What?
The Turnpike Authority presents you with this savings bond. All right, take his picture, boys.
Hold it right there, sir.
Now, sir, what's your name?
Mr. Parris? So I see, Mr. Fallowfield. Incidentally, do you hear someone calling to you? Yes. But, as you like to say, you win some, you lose some.
Well, what do we know for sure? We know for sure that back at that toll booth, they asked Andy his name, and his name turned out to be Mud. And what does it prove? It proves that after a while, even the most patient, kindly guardian angel will stop listening if you irritate him long enough. So, please listen to yours. I shall return shortly.
First time I can remember really going fishing with my dad. I'm sure I'd been with him before, but the first time I really remember it was wading downstream with him in an extra big pair of wading boots as he felt his way very surely along the stream bed and I shakily held onto the willows. And we found a spot where my dad lifted his finger to his lips and said, "Shh, we don't want to scare the fish away." And then I remember that fish. The biggest fish I'd ever seen in my life. And it was on the end of my line. And my dad, boy, was he proud. I'll never forget that as long as I live.
Give your children everything. Give them your time. A thought from the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, the Mormons.
How many chances do you get? Just one? Well, how do you know? And what are you doing now? Is it something you may have done before and paid a price for? How do you know? Since you never know, and since there's no one who can really tell you, stay with what you can count on. And you can count on being with us 7 times a week right here on My Mystery Theater. Our cast included Mandel Kramer, Joan Lovejoy, Court Benson, Leon Janney, and Bob Caliban. The entire production was under the direction of Hyman Brown. And now, a preview of our next tale.
It's altogether unbelievable.
It's incredible, that's what it is.
Now, just a minute. You say she was willing to pay $1,000 for it.
For imitation leopard skin.
But she wanted it and had to have it for her twin sister?
Yeah, well, I don't buy that, Mother. This second attempt to get a hold of the coat. I mean, by a guy who was waiting to kill us in an accident if it turned out that way. No, there's something about that coat. Something somebody wants.
Yes, but what could anyone want with an imitation leopard skin coat? Where'd you buy it, Rose?
Harrods in London.
I wish I knew how to straighten out the mystery of Rose's coat.
Oh, dear. You don't straighten out a mystery, you solve it. And I ought to know. I've read hundreds of them every year. I solve most of them, too.
We'll try solving this one, then, Aunt Ruth.
Well, as a matter of fact, I've been thinking. And I may have the answer.
Radio Mystery Theater was sponsored in part by Buick Motor Division. This is E.G. Marshall inviting you to return to our Mystery Theater for another adventure in the macabre. Until next time, pleasant dreams.
Bright and beautiful music comes your way from midnight to 6 in the morning with CBS News on the hour, followed by local news with George Good. My name's Bill Garrity. Have a good night tonight and a better day tomorrow. Schlunger. I'll see you tomorrow. This is KOIN in Portland. It's 12 midnight.
CBS News. The Tu government appears to be getting more nervous as communist forces get closer to Saigon. This is Doug Poling reporting on the CBS radio network. During the day Thursday, the South Vietnamese government issued shoot-to-kill orders against any unruly demonstrators. Later, officials announced the arrest of several persons charged with plotting a coup attempt. Bruce Dunning reports from Saigon.
Authoritative sources confirmed that 6 or 7 government officials and high-ranking army officers were arrested during the night for allegedly plotting disturbances aimed at overthrowing President Tu. The arrest came a few hours after the government unexpectedly moved the hour of curfew from 10 p.m. back to 9 p.m. The move was announced just an hour before the new curfew was to take effect. One of the group arrested was Nguyen Van Nhan, once a close political advisor to Tu. Nhan fell from favor and was eased out of the presidential entourage about a year ago because he was suspected of working with an anti-corruption movement that was looking into the activities of one of President Chu's relatives. Nhan was also suspected of working closely with the senators who voted a resolution to oust Chu earlier this week. The men arrested were accused of taking advantage of panic among the Saigon populace to stir up public disturbances that could lead to the overthrow of the Chu government. CBS News, Saigon.
As thousands of communist troops massed less than 50 miles from Saigon, the United States was mounting a large-scale operation to evacuate orphans and other refugees from the fighting. A giant C-5A cargo plane was flying into Saigon to start taking out some 2,000 orphans. A U.S. Navy task force began evacuating refugees from the Phan Rang area, 160 miles northeast of Saigon. The Reuters News Service quotes diplomatic sources as saying a South Vietnamese Air Force plane landed in Singapore during the night amid tight security and with officials refusing comment. The report followed unconfirmed stories that important South Vietnamese officials had left Saigon as the communists advanced toward the capital. More news in a moment.
If you ever use a hemorrhoid preparation, you should know this. Vaseline Brands has news. It's Hemorrhoid Ointment. Hemorrhoid works fast, helps protect with a proven medical ingredient for soothing occlusion. And Hemorrhoid gives you only this key ingredient, so it gives you more than the leading preparation. Now at your first sign of pain, burning, and itching, turn to soothing Hemorrhoid. Hemorrhoid from Vaseline Brands. Use only as directed.
Jordan, your host for a wonderful weekend on the movies, 1975. I'll talk with famous filmmakers about their movies and careers. Macon County Line producer Max Beyer Jr. said,
"This town changes you, the people in it. At least in the Hollywood area, I don't think that there is a crueler business in the world."
Join me inside the movies, 1975. 30 broadcasts, Saturday and Sunday, April 5th and 6th on the CBS Radio Network.
An April snowstorm is having its effects on the Chicago area. A report from Lynn Walter of station WBBM.
Chicago began to shake loose from the paralyzing storm at mid-afternoon Thursday. Aided by sunny skies and lower wind speeds, hundreds of snowplows started to attack the drifting snow. Thousands of abandoned automobiles had to be removed from clogged intersections and expressway ramps. O'Hare International Airport is still only operating on a very limited basis after being closed for more than 24 hours. About 5,000 stranded air travelers at the field scrambled for makeshift accommodations after airport hotels and motels became jammed. It's still impossible to drive on many Chicago area side streets, let alone park a car there. The Checker Taxi Cab Company here has offered a $15 bounty for anyone who retrieves an abandoned cab and takes it to a Checker garage. The keys to the estimated 250 cabs were left in the ashtrays. The authorities say there were at least 31 storm-related deaths, including that of a 3-year-old boy who died of exposure when he wandered outside dressed only in his pajamas. Len Walter for CBS News, Chicago.
The Big Four automakers reported Thursday their sales were down 14% for the first quarter of this year. It was also reported that during the month of March, imported cars took 21% of the total market. Now this.
This is Arnold Palmer. In golf,
we call someone who plays exceptionally well a champ. And a champ works to win. His whole way of life is geared to that talent, that ability in him which makes him win. Well, that's one way of living, but there are others. And the March of Dimes offers us some of those ways. Ways to work to prevent birth defects, or ways to help kids born with birth defects. For many of those kids, a way of life is a difficult direction to discover. But for most of us, it's not. By us, I mean young people, middle-aged people, senior citizens, everyone. As honorary national chairman for the March of Dimes, I can tell you that the greatest gift you can give any handicapped child is a little understanding, a little encouragement, and a chance to appreciate life. Won't you help? Join the March of Dimes today and find a way of life.
Attorney General Edward Leavy has dropped his earlier recommendation that Congress approve a plan to require every American to prove his legal residence when applying for a job. Leavy came up with the so-called domestic passport idea as a means of tracking down illegal aliens. Leavy said he decided the plan could violate constitutional rights. This is Doug Poling, CBS News.
With less than 2 weeks remaining before the April 15th deadline, the Internal Revenue Service reports that more than one-third of all Oregonians have yet to file their federal income tax returns. To assist people who have not been able to get to the IRS office during regular business hours, the facilities in Portland, Salem, Eugene, and Medford will be open the next two Saturdays from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. These four offices also will be open until 6:45 p.m. on April 14th and again on April 15th. There are approximately 330,000 Oregonians who have not filed, while 660,159 have filed. The IRS says 416,186 refunds have been issued to bring a total of 144,348,544 into the state's economy. The year's average refund of $347 is somewhat higher than the $329 reported for last year. Three sailors are reported in good condition after a wild trip through the ocean surf when their 30-foot boat was beached about 1 mile north of Warrenton. The three, 20-year-old Dan Shape of Santa Cruz, California, 23-year-old Murray Torrance of Bayfield, Ontario, Canada, and a 25-year-old Derek Cox of Vancouver Island, British Columbia, said they were cold, bruised, but unhurt. They were en route from Newport on the Oregon coast to Victoria, B.C., when they were forced aground yesterday after their main mast broke. The jib sail also failed to control the fiberglass boat. The men waved off a Coast Guard helicopter that indicated it would attempt to aid them, but did use the help of beachcombers in the area to make it to shore. The Association of Western Pulp and Paper Workers announces that at 7 a.m. today, Friday, pickets from the Struck Oregon City Plant of Publishers Paper Company will set up picket lines at the company's Newburg Mill. The members of Local 60 of the union at Newburg have said they will observe the picket lines to be set up by Locals 166 and 68. A spokesman for the union contends that the picket lines will be legal under the contract with the firm at Newburg, where some 200 people are employed. A man who said he kept his mother chained to her bed for 4 months because she was hard to handle was indicted by a coroner's jury in Rupert, Idaho last night for her strangulation. The jury deliberated for nearly 2 hours and then indicted 34-year-old Ernest Ruffner and his wife Grisella on charges of involuntary manslaughter in the death of 77-year-old Anna Ruffner. Two other people, Joe and Minerva Monreal, also of Rupert, were charged as accessories. The Portland-Vancouver weather forecast: a few rain showers, occasionally with ice pellets, today and tonight. Partly cloudy, with a chance of showers Saturday. The high today, Friday, 45 degrees. Saturday, near 50. Lows tonight, near 30. Chance of measurable precipitation, 80% today and 30% tonight. Light southwesterly winds, but gusty in the vicinity of shower areas. The downtown Portland temperature reading is 41 degrees. That's KOIN AM and KOIN FM News to 12:09 AM.